No one ever cared for us the way He cares for us. The deep, dark trials, when you're on the mountaintop, He still cares. When you say goodbye, oh, what a Savior we have in the Lord. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. Revelation 14, begin reading in verse number 14 as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation 14, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank You for Your love. And we thank You, Lord, for Your revelation, or the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we can see things that will be happening someday, and Lord, realize our responsibility to the day that we live. Lord, as we look into Thy Word tonight, I pray that what needs to be said will be said. I pray, Lord, that You'll use me, Lord, in some way. Lord, hide me behind the cross. I pray that You'd empower me with the Spirit of God. And help me to be obedient to You tonight. Lord, tonight when we go away, I pray that we could say we've heard from Thee. Lord, I pray that Thy Word would be a light into our path. Lord, Thy Word would make a difference in the way we live our lives. And Thy Word would impact us in such a way that we'll be faithful witnesses to our communities, our workplaces, everywhere we go. We would lift up the name of Christ and live for Thee. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And we want to thank You now for Your faithfulness to us and for what You're going to do this night. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You preach through the book of the Revelation. Sometimes you begin looking at it and you begin to think, you know, how am I going to bring this to a close, and how am I going to bring it to an invitation? Sometimes I feel like I'm giving just information. But like when I'm preaching through things like what we're going to be looking at tonight, I begin to realize it ought to impact our lives. We ought to see the judgment that's coming, and we ought to see what God is doing now to prepare even the world for the time that's to come. And to realize that God has placed us on this earth at this time, for such a time as this, to get His job done, to get the job that He's left us here to do, to get His will done. And we ought to thank God tonight for that opportunity. I believe we're living in the greatest day of all the ages, because I believe we're living in the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How soon? I don't know. Could it be before I die? I believe it could. Could it be 100 years? It could. I don't know, but I believe we're so close. I'm looking forward to His coming, aren't you? I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Well, we've seen a whole lot of different things. We've seen as the angels made proclamations last week, and we saw a lot of different things concerning those proclamations. We saw about those that die in the Lord from that point on, and how that God's going to bless them, and they're going to be able to rest from their labors, and the works that they've done, and their obedience to the Lord throughout this terrible time is going to follow them. But tonight we see another vision in this parenthetical chapter of the Bible. Of course, we understand that a parenthetical chapter to be like a parenthesis, and God is explaining some things to help us to understand. It's like giving us a little bit of a look into the future of things that have not yet happened. We know that the seven bowls or the seven vials are getting ready to take place, those seven judgments. And the things that we're going to be reading about tonight and looking at is actually something that's going to take place after. But these seven vials, I believe, are going to be so difficult for John to endure and just for John to have to see that God is encouraging him by helping him to see how that God wins the battle and everything's going to be all right and God's always in control. So God's doing these things to be an encouragement to John. When we look at this tonight, we see that he cometh upon a cloud, and that's what I want to preach on. The Bible says he cometh upon a cloud. Now, we realize there's more to this story than just this, and we'll get into that later on in the book of the Revelation. But look at what the Bible says. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. We find that in this particular portion of Scripture, a picture, if you will, of the battle of Armageddon. While there's so much more about it later on, we get this picture the severity of the event that's going to unfold. As we look on it now, we may see it differently than what John saw it. Because as we look at it tonight, we may not come away as encouraged as John did, but John's seeing a whole lot of things. John's seeing a whole lot of suffering by saints that are enduring, if you will. And when John sees this, he realizes that the time of the end is truly here. And the day is coming when Christ is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to bring victory. What a time it's going to be. John was no doubt encouraged by this preview of this ultimate victory for Almighty God and for his people. Imagine seeing all the things that John had seen, all the hostility against the saints being brought to a final end, if you will. John's vision, we've seen some atrocious things happen to those that stayed true to God, those that encouraged the saints, and those that helped the 144,000, there's no doubt. But now John sees one coming upon a cloud, and as he comes, he's going to bring judgment, and he's going to bring justice. As we think about him coming on the cloud, I want us to see what John was seeing and get an idea. Now, I want you to understand tonight, I can't give you all the answers to this. I'm not sure I understand it all myself. But I'm going to tell you what I do know. I'm going to tell you what some others think. And by the help of God, we'll go away from here with a greater understanding of what we need to understand. As we look at this tonight, I want us to see, first of all, the reaper. The reaper. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. It says that John beheld a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now when we study the Scripture, we begin to find out that this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is he whom John is no doubt looking for and longing for, and John sees him sitting upon a white cloud, and he's fulfilling a promise, I believe, that two angels gave several years before. You remember what happened when the Lord Jesus went away? You remember he was given the great commission, and we read about it in the book of Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, and he says, "But ye shall receive power," Jesus said, "but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, verse 9 says, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He went up in the cloud, he's coming back like that. He went up, I believe he went up with a shout. We don't see that he shouted here, but the Bible does teach us in the book of 1 Thessalonians that the Lord will return with a shout. So I believe he went up with a shout. As we look at these things, we begin to get a better understanding and get a better picture of these things. We begin to see that as you've seen him go into heaven, that he will come again in like manner. I think about this. The last time that the world saw him wearing a crown, he was wearing a crown of thorns, wasn't he? But the next time we see him wearing a crown, he's going to be wearing a golden crown. And I'm glad for that, aren't you? Not only does he have a golden crown on his head, though, the Bible says he has a sharp sickle in his hand. That indicates that he's a reaper. He's getting ready to reap. You remember if you go back into the parables and you see that there was the seed being sown, there was things being sown, and the sower was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a day when the Lord Jesus reaps some things. We see the Christ is the reaper. Christ is the one. The Son of Man is coming back and refers to his position as a judge of men. Not only do we see the reaper, I want you to see the reaping. It's so difficult. So many different ideas about this. The Bible says in verse number 15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Verse 15, the Bible says, the harvest of the earth is ripe. Verse number 18, the Bible says, for her grapes are fully ripe. There's all kinds of different views on this. Two main views. Some say that this harvest of the earth that we see in verse number 15 refers to a harvest of saints. Specifically speaking, when he talks about the harvest of the earth, he's pulling all those saints from the earth, getting ready to reap another harvest of the grapes of these wicked ones, if you will. Others say that this is God's judgment upon the wicked earth, and that the gathering of the wicked in that second sickle is just gathering all the wicked into one place. But regardless of what your view may be, regardless of what we may say, well, I believe this is what that means, or that's what that means, we know that in this passage there's a reaping. We realize that there's some things that's taken place. And when the Bible says that the earth is ripe, it indicates it's dry. In other words, it's due to be reaped. It's time. When we see, when it says the harvest of the earth is ripe, it literally means the time has come. Now is the time. When is that time? Well, we realize it's going to be at the end of 7 years of tribulation. We know that. When's that going to take place? I'm not exactly sure, but it's after the Lord Jesus returns and calls his church out of here. Amen? He's coming, the Bible teaches us. He's coming one time in the clouds to call the bride, and then he's coming back to the earth. The first time is the rapture, the second is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we think about this, we begin to realize that it says that this angel comes out of the temple crying with a loud voice and says to the Son of Man, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And grapes being fully ripe, in verse number 18, indicates that they're overripe, they're rotten. Talking about morally rotten, talking about a wicked condition, a reaping that's overdue. Every one of us tonight, if we were in control of these things, we would hand out judgment like you would not believe on certain peoples and the things that they've done. I believe the very reason that it says that these are ripe to the point of being dry, I believe it's just the mercy of God. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ longs to see more people come to know Him as Savior. When we think about all that's transpiring before our eyes, we begin to realize how difficult it is to understand all these things. The Bible says in verse number 15, it's an unusual thing. It says an angel from the temple cries to the Son of Man. Some people say, how could you address the Son of Man in such a way? How could you address the Lord Jesus Christ if you're just an angel coming and telling Him what to do? But when it says He comes from the temple, it indicates that He has authority from God the Father as He's speaking to this Son of Man. Being from the temple, we see His instruction is truly from God on His throne to the Son of Man being upon that cloud to begin this process of reaping. Many people believe that this is the reaping of the wheat from among the tares. And that's how they look at these things. And you say, what do you believe about it tonight? I'm really not sure what I believe about it. I just know there's going to be a reaping. The Bible does not tell us what the harvest of the earth is. It doesn't clear that up. It doesn't make it absolutely positively sure. So I'm not going to stand here and tell you, well, this is what this means. I believe that would be heresy if I were to do something like that and to give you something that's wrong. So do I believe it could be the reaping of the saints? I believe it could be. Do I believe it could be just God's judgment upon the wicked earth? I believe it could be. You know what? I don't really have to worry about that. I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord. You know? But there is a time coming, and we realize this second reaping is much more in detail than what this first reaping is all about. And if this was just the Lord coming and gathering the wheat so He could get the tares and bundle them all up together and bring judgment, then that's up to God. That's fine, and that's what the Bible says is going to happen. I'm not exactly sure if this is the place, the time. Verse number 17, we read of this another angel, the Bible says, that comes out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. So we read this angel that comes out of the temple. So we see another angel with great authority from God. And then verse number 18, another angel that has power over fire, which talks about the judgment of God. And God is a consuming fire. We realize what the Bible says about all these things. But this angel comes from out of the altar that has power over the fire. And he cries out to this one, this angel that has a sharp sickle in his hand. And he tells them, says, I want you to cast forth your sickle, thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. They're rotten, if you will. There's no doubt that this is talking about these wicked followers of Satan. Christ is the true vine. Satan is the vine of the earth, if you will. The prince of the power of the air. And all that have followed him during these days are going to be gathered together. So the Bible, this is the reaping. The gathering together, if you will. And then I want you to see the result tonight. The result. I think it's one of the most difficult things to think about. It's hard to look at and to think about all that's going to be taking place. The Bible says in verse number 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even into the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. While we may not be sure just what exactly is meant by the harvest of the earth that we read about, we do know that the results of this gathering of the wicked are given to us. In verse number 19, the angel thrusts in his sickle, that sharp sickle. And the Bible says it gathers in the vines of the earth. And after gathering in this wicked vine, it's cast into the winepress. The Bible says the winepress, think about this, the winepress of the wrath of God. Just thinking about that ought to make us shudder. I'm glad the Bible teaches me that I'll not see the wrath of God. I have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Think about it. We see the wrath, the winepress of the wrath of God. When I think about that, I begin to think how terrible this judgment's going to be for those that mocked God and made fun of God and literally ripped up the lives of people that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have trusted the Lord. Think about what they're going to be facing. How could a loving God do such a thing? The question is asked. A loving God did everything that could possibly be done in order for men and women and boys and girls to be able to go to heaven. But people have mocked Him and made fun of Him and turned their back on Him Everybody is born with a knowledge of God. Everybody is born with a knowledge of God, but we sin against that knowledge and we refuse Jesus Christ. And dear friends, the Bible teaches us that we have enough knowledge in conscience and in creation to know that there is a God. We have to refuse God. Refuse God. Reject Christ. And these that reject the Lord are going to face this terrible judgment. They're going to face this. Now, this isn't the final judgment. I don't want you to misunderstand. This is talking about those that come through this tribulation and are going to be facing these things. There's a final judgment coming. It's about 1,000 years down the road after this, called the Great White Throne Judgment, which, thank God, will not be judged at the Great White Throne, right? We're excited about that, too. But as we think about this, These grapes, they're gathered together, these fully ripe, these rotten grapes are placed there in this wine press. You know, wine press is, if you don't know, it's just like a big trough or a big vat, if you will, where grapes are put into so that they can be stomped and smashed and treaded on to be made into wine. And these wicked ones are going to be stomped on by the wrath of God. Verse number 20, the Bible says that we see the wine press was trodden without the city. And while this isn't the final judgment, because we do realize that these things are going to take place, these are going to die, and there's going to be 1,000-year reign. Dead are going to be raised up again. The wicked dead are going to be raised up again. They're going to be judged at the great white throne 1,000 years later. We realize that this is truly a judgment of God, but not the final judgment. It is going to take place outside the city, the Bible says, without the city. And it's a preview of the battle that God wants John to see. It's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. We call it the Battle of Armageddon. I believe that's what this is talking about. And they see the wicked that are on earth at this time is going to be trodden under the very wrath of God. It's going to be a very bloody battle. Very. In this valley, the battle's going to take place. And the Bible says that the blood from this winepress, the blood of the wicked, the blood of the vine of the earth, these overdue, the judgment being overdue, these fully ripe grapes, the blood of this, the Bible says, is going to be a river of about 200 miles long and up to the bridle of the horse, 4 feet approximately. Some people say that's hyperbole. I don't believe it is. I believe it's God's word. Some people say that's impossible to happen. Well, first of all, if God said it, it's not impossible. But secondly, if you've ever read certain writings, you know, if you're reading the writings of Josephus, he says that when Titus destroyed Jerusalem, that blood ran along the streets of Jerusalem. Actually went into the houses of Jerusalem. Literally put out some of the fires in the fireplaces in Jerusalem. I believe if that's the case, then I have no problem believing that this could happen. Years ago, there was a battle where somebody named Sylla destroyed Athens, if you will. And they said that the blood was in the streets and in the yards and ran through the gates of the city. Think about that. This battle is not even going to be comparable to those. This is going to be a time where they'll be literally pressed out of measure, if you will. They're going to be pressed to the fullest extent. There's no mercy in this. The wrath of God, the winepress of the wrath of God, they're going to be stomped. The wicked that seems to be winning, the wicked that seems to always come out on top, the wicked that's persecuting these that are still serving the Lord during this time, these that are enduring. I'm glad that the church is gone, but there's going to be those that are going to be enduring, and they're going to hold true to faith in God. They're not going to accept the mark of the beast. They're not going to bow to the image of the beast, and they're going to keep on going. And the Bible teaches us there's a day. I mean, they're going to be weeping and they're going to be crying, but there's a day, the Bible says, when God's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. But John is seeing all these different things happen. He's seeing the wicked beat down and beat down and beat down those that are trying to serve God. But now he sees one that's coming on a cloud, and he's going to come and he's going to reap. And dear friends, he's going to reap a harvest. He's going to gather all the wicked. He's going to put them in one place there in that valley, and the very wrath of God is going to destroy. It's going to be a wicked battle. It's going to be a terrible battle. It's going to be a bloody battle. We need to see the reality of this. This is true. This isn't some science fiction novel we're talking about. This is God's holy word. And we must believe what the Bible has to say to us. If we can't believe what the Bible has to say about this, it'd be hard to believe what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16. We have to get these things settled in our mind that God's word is true. It's the inerrant, the infallible. It's the inspired word of God. There is no error in it. It is true from the book of Genesis to the end of Revelation. It's the all-inspired Word of God. It is the God-breathed book. And God spoke. He breathed upon man. And as the Holy Spirit touched the hearts of men, they penned down the very words that God would have them to pen down. It's inspired. Oh, we need to see the reality of all this. Christ is coming to fight this battle. And he'll do the fighting. When Christ comes to earth, it's going to be great and tragic. We see this preview of his return, realizing there's more details about a return later. But it's a truth that we just can't avoid. We have to read the Bible and begin to understand the reality of it all. A lot of people may not believe it. A lot of people may not listen when we try to speak to them about the judgment that's coming. A lot of them may deny the need for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to be some that's going to listen. By the way, our responsibility is not to save. Our responsibility is to tell. God does the saving. We're to witness. We're to do, we're to tell others what Christ has done for us. We're to tell others the truth of God's word. Now's the time. Now's the time to serve the Lord. I said, I believe we're living the greatest day that you'll be living in. Because I believe we're living so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said, I had a pastor growing up, and this pastor always said, I don't want to go by way of the rapture, I want to go by way of death. All of us used to say, I want to be raptured out of here. This dear man said, I want to experience. He said, I have preached so many funerals and I've been by so many bedsides where somebody died, and I've seen dying grace, and I want to experience it. I want you to know he got to experience it. This dear man of God, my family's pastor for years, when he died, his wife was in the hospital room with him. And she went over and sat on the bed. And he placed his head in her lap. She said he looked up at her and smiled and laid his head over. And he died. Well, if I die, I want to have that dying grace, and I'll have it. But for some reason, I'm just convinced that I'm going by way of the rapture. If I don't, that's fine. By way of the grave or by way of the rapture, I know where I'm going. So all that's taken care of. So what's a message like this do to us? Don't you see? Anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, if he were to come today, are going to have to face these things. And this is at the end of 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 years of what we would call great tribulation. Think about it. And while we won't be judged at the great white throne judgment, I am not convinced that we won't be present. Will we or won't we? I do not know. But I would hate to think that there would be somebody that's being judged at that great white throne that could look up into a crowd and see my face and point a finger at me and say, you had every opportunity to tell me about Jesus, and I didn't do it. Now, will that be the case? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be present there. I know I'm not going to be judged at it. But will I be present at it? If somebody can prove me one way or another, that's fine. I like to know. But I don't know. But in my mind, I just imagine the blood that's going to be on my hands for not telling the story of what Jesus Christ has done, not just for me, but for all. You can't witness to the wrong person. Some may not appreciate it. We gave a gospel tract out last night to a lady at a restaurant. You never know how it's going to be received. And we were still standing around. We was talking. We was leaving. And she came up. She said, thank you. She said, I'm a pastor's kid, and it means so much to me that you've done this. We gave another waitress a couple weeks ago a tract. We went back to that same place. She said, I want you to know I kept that track. She said, I'm going to be looking for a church. And she said, I'm keeping that track and I'm coming to your church. My mom and dad's coming down and they're going to come to church with me there. Will they ever come? I don't know. But we had a whole group of people went to a restaurant one night, didn't we? Probably about 15 of us after church one Sunday night. And I guess the last month, maybe 4 out of 7 Sundays, we've had a family of people that's been coming as a result of handing out a gospel tract and showing somebody that Jesus loves them. It works. God's word does not return void. They may not listen to it. They may refuse it. They may turn it away. But you can't give it to the wrong person. And in view of the things that are coming, I think we need to see our responsibility. We got a big city here. Oh, it's little compared to some. But there's a lot of people that need the Lord. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more difficult it's going to be to win people to Christ. But that doesn't mean we stop trying. That doesn't mean we stop witnessing. It just means we stay faithful to God and leave the results to Him. But let's do our part. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, I want to ask you a very serious question. And it's a question you must know the answer to. It's not a question that you cannot answer, because if you don't have the right answer, then you're in trouble.